In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning, saints.
Good morning.
On this All Saints Sunday, it's good for us to remember that, at least from Paul's perspective, we are all saints. Amen?
Amen.
No pressure, right? You all got it down? You're ready to walk in the fullness of what it means to be saintly? To be someone who is walking so closely with God in the way in which Paul put it this morning in his letter to the church in Ephesus. He said, you would be a person that is in Christ. Amen? But what does that really mean? Well, what's it mean to be in Christ? Well, it means that, well, he gets his way with us. Now, that doesn't always work well for me. So I had a schedule this week. It was fairly full. And I had a particular time set apart to write this sermon. And I had everything I needed except one thing. God did not show up in my timeline. But it had to be done. So I wrote a wonderful sermon, from my opinion, on the reading from the letter to the Ephesians. And I sealed it up last night and said, sounds good. And I went to bed. And then I got up this morning and I looked at it again, like I tend to do on Sunday morning, and I went, this makes no sense at all. So then I took a shower and God showed up then. So welcome to my sermon on the gospel according to Luke, which was written in the shower this morning. And I had to laugh, right? Because I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, what is he been talking about? What is Jesus trying to say? And I thought, and I look back, because, you know, I want to know where he is, right? So Jesus has just called the 12 apostles. This is their first official outing as a mission team. And this is his teaching. He looked up at the disciples after they gathered in a low place. So if you're with me in Bible study on Thursday, this may sound familiar because we're dealing with the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. This is a Sermon on the Plain in Luke. Similar teachings going on. So we're getting the blessings and the woes. So after Jesus was doing some teaching and there's all this healing, the new team's like, woohoo, man, this is good. We have found the Messiah. This is the one we're going to follow. And then he starts this teaching. He goes, then he looked up at his disciples and said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. And blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Now, if I was one of the 12, I'd be thinking, that wasn't in the contract. What happened to the healing and then the rest and the salvation? This teaching doesn't sound right. When you get in alignment with the teacher, with the rabbi, and you're following, you're religiously following the one true God, you should be getting blessed. And you should have what you need, and you should have these experiences, and people should be looking up to you. And this is his teaching? It's confusing, right? And then he continues. You're supposed to rejoice in the day and leap for joy. This is when people are reviling you and defaming you on account of the Son of Man. You're rejoicing in that day, leaping for joy, but for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. And then, woe to you, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But those are all the things we should have, amen? I mean, we're following Jesus. He should be giving us all these. Isn't that the blessing? So there must be something else happening here. What's going on? Then I thought back to the preparation for this sermon. It's so funny. See, we make our own plans in the world. We make our decisions. We build our lives. Amen? We got it together. We know what to do. And just like the apostles that were just chosen, here they are with this Jesus. And all of a sudden, his teaching takes everything and turns it completely upside down. See, Jesus will do that. You come closer to him, you start living a life in Christ, like a saint, or just like anyone else who's following Jesus. Paul just called everybody saints. If you start living in Christ, your life is going to get turned upside down, in big ways and little ways. And I'd like to tell you it stops, but as I discovered this morning, it does not. See, God didn't show up when I wanted him to show up on my schedule, when I was actually had the time set apart to prepare a sermon. But he showed up on his time and turned my whole world upside down again, which he has a tendency to do. Now, here's the difference. If we truly want to be living in this life in Christ, which as Episcopalians, we take very seriously. That our whole journey here is about coming forward to the sacrament to receive Christ into us again, to help us live in Christ, amen? And so if we're going to do this, and he's going to continually turn our world upside down, what are we supposed to do? And I believe what's behind this teaching that Jesus is doing this morning is we're supposed to let him. See, but what do? We come across things in our life and we go, well, I have a vision for how my life is going to go. And to be really honest, what happens from my perspective, many of us, myself included at some point, the struggle is you come closer and you come closer and then you realize my life is starting to tilt a little bit. If I'm not careful, I'm going to take another step and I'm going to look like a full-fledged Jesus freak, right? And my friends are going to freak out and my family's probably going to freak out. I remember talking to my mom one time and she's like, what, did you become kind of a holy roller? I'm like, sure. I mean, whatever it is. I was a fanatic to her. You know, Susan's folks, same way, to be honest. But they were looking at the life that we had had before, the life I had before, and the fact is, I was struggling in my life. See, I had a great plan in my mind, and I was following it, but the problem is, in the midst of it, Jesus kind of turned it upside down. And it needed to be turned upside down, because the reality came down to is it wasn't working. The fact of the matter is, it turned into this concept that I had to determine maybe it was wrong. Maybe my life wasn't really going the way God intended it to go. Well, it wasn't really wrong, but it just needed to be kind of flipped over. In fact, my life was of such, sometimes I'll share in a group something that was happening many, many years ago now. And my wife, if she's listening, she'll go, that's BS. Before Susan. You may have heard her say that. Y'all were nervous for a second, weren't you? And it was both. But it part of my life was of such, she just wanted to make sure everybody knew she didn't have any part of that. That she was not around. So now when we're faced with those moments, and all of us are, and we're really getting faced with that a little bit, I believe Jesus wants us to face that teaching. What are we going to do? What are we going to do in that moment? we still have our will. Amen? So we can carry on and say, I got everything. The world says I got everything. I feel like I got everything. But strangely, in the depth of our soul, we're like, doesn't really feel right. But I've been kind of hanging around church a little bit, around some church people, maybe some family in my case, and you're thinking, there's something else there. And then we can say, well, it's not for me, it's for them. They're just Jesus freaks or holy rollers or whatever it might be. And they talk about things that seem impossible because they sound completely backwards from everything the world's told me. Amen? And the fact of the matter is, they're actually right. So we can dig our heels in and say, I'm not doing it. I'm not going any further in this journey because I think that's all foolishness. And we can say that openly and we can kind of fight it if we want. But why would you? When you're standing on the edge of real transformation in your life, brothers and sisters, I promise you it feels like your whole world is about to get completely turned upside down. If you want to find the transformation that comes through the grace of God and the very presence of Jesus in your life, living in Christ, you got to let him turn it upside down and see how it feels. It's kind of like getting on one of those roller coasters, you know, and you think it's not too bad, and all of a sudden it starts going like this. And you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't do upside down roller coasters. You get on, I don't do them at all anymore, to be honest. But there was that time you'd do that flip over, and it was pretty exhilarating. I can tell you, living the life in Christ is pretty exhilarating. People don't see it necessarily from the outside, but you know it on the inside. And you just let him change you. But in order to recognize the change that is coming, you have to be willing to let your world get turned upside down. See, his teaching is backwards from what the world understands. It always has been and it always will be. And the opportunity we have through the grace of God is to let him lead us in it. To let him turn our world upside down. Around here we refer to it as transforming lives. See, if we want to see the world transformed, we, saints of God, have to let him turn our world upside down. So that we can see his plan, not ours. So that we can rely on him fully for the blessing rather than plan a life that looks blessed to the world. And right when you think that's enough upside down teaching, Jesus presses in harder. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. That doesn't sound right. And as I said many times before, you know, I was in sales before. And I can tell you, this is the worst marketing material ever written. Because after this, he's like, oh, and come with me. Now, the 12 at this might be, they're thinking, that feels like a bit of a bait and switch. We were seeing all this glory of God working through this Jesus, and we're like, we're with you. We see it, we get it. And then all this first teaching, and they're probably thinking, maybe not. Maybe not. See, they let Jesus turn their world upside down. And in the process of that, it became right side up. Many years ago, as we were driving some kids home, one, our daughter and a friend of hers home from Day Spring after they attended a happening weekend, they're in the back seat. They were super excited, by the way. It was a life-changing moment for them both. So life-changing that that daughter is planting a church with her husband currently, and her friend is a missionary to South Asia with her family. Now they're pushing 40, don't tell them I said that. But their life changed, and they've been following this Jesus and allowing it to get turned upside down all the time, because it's really right side up. And what they said all those years ago in the back of our little Blazers, we're driving them back to Sarasota, is that, oh, now we have to go back to the real world. And I said, no. No, you are leaving the real world as God intended. You are going into the fallen world. You need to take what you just found and go take it to the world. See, that's what the saints do. That's what we do. So when we hear these things, and it's like we struggle in that. Love your enemy? No, that's not the world we live in. You're not supposed to love your enemy. You're supposed to get other people who have the same enemy, and then you all get together and tell each other how bad that person is. And then normally you talk about this passage, everybody's like, well, what, I'm supposed to just be a doormat? Is that what Christians are, doormats? Is that what Jesus is telling us? I'm supposed to just lay down and let people walk on me and take my stuff and treat me poorly? No, not at all. In fact, you're supposed to do the most important thing. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. See, if we don't know there's power in that, brothers and sisters, our world is not upside down enough. If we say, well, what's that going to do? You do not understand the fullness of this Jesus, do you? See, that we have a Jesus that carries with him a power and a strength that can overcome the brokenness of this world. How do we know? Because as the saints, we know that he's overcome the brokenness of our own lives. Amen? Amen. And when we begin to walk in the fullness of that, when we begin to embrace the fullness of this Jesus and the power of the Spirit of God that indwells us, then we can stand in the midst of it. And when that person is coming at you and you're praying them and you're praying blessings over them, instead of just grabbing your group of people or whatever it may be, I'm not saying don't defend yourself. What I'm saying is defend yourself with Christ. Be the saint that Paul knows you to be. And you know what happens? When we make that the normal thing, the insanity settles. This may come as a shock to you, but there's many people in my life that for many years would try to get me worked up. Yeah. People just don't bother anymore. Like, well, you can go at Brian if you want. You're probably not going to get much of a response out of him. What I love most when people say, well, I don't want to offend you. I'm like, oh, please try. Because in order for me to be offended, I would have to value someone's opinion over me greater than I value the understanding of what it means to be in Christ. It's not easy. But when we respond in prayer, when we respond in praying blessings over them, we change. And other people change. This signing on to be a saint is tough. And I'm sure many of you and myself have probably said, well, I'm no saint. Paul would say, oh, yes, you are. You're just not doing a good job of it today. But what if we did? What if we chose to do a good job? What if we acknowledged the reality of the presence of the Spirit of God in us and we found our strength in that? What if we chose that over all things? And we look at this and it says this. This last verse for today. do to others as you would have them do to you. Now, for somebody who can barely make it from here to my house in traffic, in Christ, that tells me when I go up to Valrico Road and I hang a left headed to Miller, and that person comes racing up the other side, and I know they're not going to Taco Bell, I have to let them in. I got a big car. I don't have to. But in that moment, I got to stop and say, okay, let them in. In a moment when I'm in Christ, I can let them in.
That's right.
Amen. Other moments, I'm like, try it. The difference when I arrive to the house, when I let them in, compared to when I fight for that 20 feet, is transforming. So we can dig our heels in, or we can do to others as you have them do to you. And eventually, that could spread by the power within God's people. The power of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We could fall into that and watch the world around us change. And the people who don't want to change and dig their heels in, pretty soon they're just going to look like a crazy child kicking their feet. No one, not to insult any of our children. But at some point, brothers and sisters, Paul would say, grow up. And this is a way for us to do that. Certainly a way for me. I need it. What a wonderful growth spot to just hold on to this. But when you say, well, I can't do that, I'm not that good, that's the point of the teaching. Oh, you already have everything you need. Well, you're just going to keep losing it from here forward. But when you realize that you don't have everything you need and you can gain it from Christ, all you have is gain. And we can leave here with the very presence of God through his very body and blood. And we might hear differently the words of the deacon that from time to time may stand back there and say, let us go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia.